You want your child to thrive and reach their full potential. K-12 can help them get there. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. This is not your typical homeschooling. With state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online, your child will learn at their speed, at home, with innovative, engaging technology. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today. Your child deserves an education that sets them up for success. K-12 knows that learning isn't one size fits all and has options tailored to each child's needs, interests, and goals for the future. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn at their speed, at home, from state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.
Okay, cool.
What was that?
That definitely wasn't.
It was Tom.
That came from the depths of your bowels.
That wasn't me.
Yes, it definitely was.
My opinion.
What? No, it wasn't.
Alistair may die during this podcast.
It was actually
podcast. Me. I don't know if you're chatting shit as well.
I don't know where I am.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another podcast. We are here in Azerbaijan. I'm Matt.
I'm Jess.
I'm an ill Ali.
I'm Tommy.
Ali is really ill.
Yeah.
I don't know if Ali's going to make this through this podcast.
I might run out halfway through.
What's the percentage?
Of me running out?
Yeah.
65.
Oh, that's quite high.
Jeez. Yeah. Okay, this will be fun. This will be really fun.
It just all of a sudden just goes, you've got to go.
When you've got to go, you've got to go. Anyway, back to Baku, Azerbaijan. We are here. Look at that view. Everything is being deconstructed as we speak. So let's talk about the race. Three word race reviews. I'm going to start. Haven't thought of it at all, so I'm not going to start. Tommy, can you give us your three word race review?
I haven't thought of mine either.
I thought of mine.
All right, Jess, you go.
What the
One.
No, that's four.
That's four, Ali.
Come on, Ali.
All right.
Get in the bin. Right. Really?
Yeah, We were saying I don't even know how to start talking about the race because I feel physically exhausted.
But is it a what the fuck in a good way or in a bad way?
Oh, no, in a good way.
Okay, cool.
I think that sums it up really well.
That's my three sound... my three sound review. Just, where do you even begin?
I think
someone was saying that it might be easier to list out the things that didn't happen in the race over the things that did.
Yeah. Well, we were just watching the highlights and they didn't even have Hülkenberg crashing in the highlights, which would be a massive thing in any other race, but there's just too much to talk about. So this podcast is going to be 4 hours.
It may well be. Okay, mine's going to be, oh my God.
Mm-hmm. So going on
similar expression, I basically copied you.
Yeah,
but
I know.
Less aggressive.
Not the first time of that, is it?
No, absolutely not. absolutely not. but yeah, I mean, oh my, I was just sat there. Although there was a lull in the middle of the race.
Mm.
There was. It was just like it just exploded. I don't know how Baku does it because it's so different to 2016, where I was like, this track is awful.
What happened that year?
I don't know. I literally can't remember what happened.
That race. You've had six amazing F2 races here, two really good Grand Prix, and then just one really bad one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They were pretty unlucky, but. Yeah.
Ali actually watched the race for the first time in God knows how long. So, Ali, what was your three-word race review?
Holy crap, man. That was crazy.
I thought you were going to go for, oh, my wow.
Oh, my wow. Yeah. My catchphrase. No, it was incredible.
I love how you dropped in my catchphrase. Just so everyone's aware.
Mine.
No, yeah, it was nice to see that race because normally I'm driving up to London to film Internet's Best Reactions by the time the race is on. And I do love motorsport. But it was incredible to watch that race and what a race it was as well. I mean, it's the same as Jack, our assistant producer, who doesn't watch Formula One at all. And he watched his first race is this race.
I mean, what a race to come in on.
Every other race he's going to watch now is going to be utter rubbish, probably.
He literally came up to me today and was like, I actually really like Formula One now. And I was like, well, join the club.
Yeah. I hope he's not going to have the expectation that every race is like Baku, though, because I don't think every race, any race, is like Baku.
It should be, though.
It's just well,
about
yeah.
every race here.
That's the thing. If it was like that every single time, we wouldn't appreciate it as much. That's true. When the boring races as much as we don't want them.
I'm pretty sure you said that in Bahrain, or just did, that every race should be at Bahrain.
Yeah, I did, because I thought Bahrain was crazy. I was wrong.
Baku's like, hold my beer.
But that's three races on the trot now that have been super awesome. Exciting.
Yeah, yeah. God, I hope the season's like this for the rest of the season.
I mean...
How many seasons? You've got to hope this season is
seasons.
You like
yeah.
Four seasons.
I mean, the first race being boring and then having three really good ones, everyone immediately has shut up about overtaking the halo. Like, no one's talking about that anymore. Like, oh, you can't overtake. Oh, there's a halo. Oh, the engine sounds aren't as good. No one talks about that when the racing's good.
No.
Everyone thought it was really good as well. Our three-word race reviews from our fans, Loris.rule and Mini... God, these are all terrible to pronounce. Merhwan99, Yannick Bigler, all of them were coming in with well done, Baku. I mean, it was always going to be.
Well done, Baku.
It was. Should we dive into our first discussion point? Because there are so
We should probably
so
plug
many.
Our well done, Baku t-shirt.
Which is now available in the WTF1 store.
I was not involved in this horrific plugging. So, yeah, as Tommy, you said, what happened in 2016? Can you actually remember? If you're wondering what these noises are, they are deconstructing Baku around us as we're recording.
They might just leave this room. We're going to walk out the door and everything's going to be gone.
Just drop down. What were you saying?
What 2016. I can't remember even what happened.
No, not really anything. It
didn't Mercedes just run away with it?
Rosberg won it by a mile.
Yeah. Lewis had a horrible race. People just did not get on with the track, but it didn't...
It didn't deliver a good race, but now it just... Maybe it's these cars being wider, so many crashes, and the straight is so long. Like we were saying it. You were a second behind, because there's so many races like Monza and stuff where... They should technically be slipstreaming each other, but they just don't.
Yeah.
Whereas this track, like the Ricciardo Verstappen battle, he could be a second behind and he still is just closing in. And seemingly every lap, there was someone going side by side.
Which is incredible.
That shot down the straight when you were in the following car, watching the car in front getting chased and then getting closer and closer and closer.
Yeah, awesome.
And then knowing that they can go three wide into turn one is like... This is amazing.
I love the shot from the end of the straight at turn one, where all of a sudden you'll just see a car in front and then two cars appear out from the side of it.
Yeah.
Like they're going to just pincer him and attack. But I love that.
What I love about this straight in particular is that the move is, as you're saying, you could be a second behind and you can get an overtaking opportunity. But also if someone clears them so quickly, the person, even without DRS, can get back into the slipstream and with the heavy winds, have an overtaking opportunity into turn one, which is just awesome.
So cool.
I think it's the best straight in Formula One.
Yeah. I don't think straights are very exciting, like, really. But this one, the second they get on the straight, I'm like, give us the onboard of the guy behind right now.
Yeah.
Because
it's
so exciting watching them close in.
And most times they did, so I was like, yes, thank you.
Yeah, it's so good.
With Raikkonen and Stroll, that's an onboard that I would, like, sticks in my mind.
That was almost too easy for me. That was not, like...
I don't know how, like, Williams just seemed to have no engine, and they were just being pushed along by, like, Stroll just...
moving his foot.
Having a Stroll, eh?
Yeah, having a Stroll. Oh, no.
Okay, I'm off. See ya. Right, but anyway, let's move on to, like, the start of the race. Absolute chaos. I mean, we were mentioning, we don't really remember what happened in the race, but we had a safety car on lap one. I think it's probably worth mentioning maybe the Kimi Ocon, because that was quite a notable incident. Yeah. And for me, I mean, because Ocon came out and said, I've got it here. What do we want to tell Kimi? He doesn't talk. He's not in the position he should be with a Ferrari. He made a mistake yesterday. He made another one today.
That's pretty savage.
It's savage considering, in my opinion... Kimi had absolute right to be where he was. Mm-hmm. I think Kimi was a bit stupid to try it into such a narrow corner where there's not much space for a side-by-side. But at the same time, Esteban has to take that into account that Kimi's there. So I think that Esteban's maybe trying to save face a little bit.
And he can't say that he couldn't see him. You can see a red car in your peripherals or in your mirror. Like you know he was going to be there. Mm. So he should have given him space.
There's just so many... racing incidents into the on the first lap. Like Alonso got caned. Sorokin
that was ridiculous.
Each other. They just it was just constant. Like they just can't get the cars because they go. There's what is that? Seven wide, straight.
Yeah,
and then
yeah.
they just filter into this tiny little.
Two wide,
wide 90-degree turns, and there just always is a crash. I mean, Bottas and Raikkonen did the same last year. It just seems like that happens. Deal with it on this track. It's crazy.
Yeah.
And the Alonso incident in particular, like, what was Hulkenberg doing there? It was he just swiped across, and then Sorokin got penalised
for that.
He literally got, he's nowhere he should have gone.
No.
I mean, he wasn't going to expect Nico to come across. Like, fair enough, he's put himself into quite a hazardous position where he was. But why would he think, with Nico having absolutely nothing going on his right, why would he swipe across? Mm. So it absolutely baffled me, to be honest.
It also seems just before the impact on the onboard of Sorokin, it looks like he does let off because he knows that he's going to get sandwiched. He's like, well, I'm backing out of this and I'll sort it out later. But by that point, it was way too late. And so
Sorokin hit Alonso, right? Is that?
Yeah. But it was because Hulkenberg's rear left hit the front right of Sorokin.
He was just getting and squeezed. Him.
Yeah.
How good was Alonso to get back to the pits? God.
Did you see him come into the pits? He almost binned into the wall.
Yeah.
He was going along the side, wasn't he?
Yeah.
I don't know how he even managed to get back.
He said, so after the race, I know he says this a lot and he's very good at talking himself up, but he said it was the best race of his career, arguably, and
he says that a lot
yeah, but I think he loves to like self-compliment himself, but he said that I don't think any other driver would have got back to the pits.
I don't
with
remember
a car in that state.
I think a lot would have just given up. I think
that's what I mean, like most would just park the car and be like, this is it.
Surely Sorokin could have got back.
Well, people even when they just have one wheel,
very true.
Yeah.
He had two wheels on the same side and still got back to the pits.
Or why didn't
there was no point.
Yeah, exactly. Just park the car. But I don't recall when was the last time anyone finished a race after a double puncture.
I've never seen that
because usually there's a lot of damage to the floor, suspension.
Well, that's what
that
they said. They were like, "No way he can continue with that much floor damage." And McLaren was saying,
"Over team radio,
there is floor damage." They finished both McLarens in the points.
Well, that's just classic Baku thing that happened in the last race where Bottas and Ricciardo were like dead last and finished 1-2, and then in this race, Perez crashed at the start. Raikkonen crashed at the start. They both ended
Perez
up on
crashed?
The podium. He got.
Yeah, he got his front
him
wing.
And Ocon have had a little.
Oh, he got punted or something, didn't he? He got punted from behind, and he went into the back of someone.
Yeah,
I can't remember all of these.
Yeah, there's so many things going on.
It was just chaos. The whole race was just. Amazing.
And Crofty missed most of it, so that's also doesn't help.
Dig.
At @Rob_Rush13 sent us a message saying, "How did Alonso not get driver of the day after lap one?" And I think he would have had it not been for Charles Leclerc, who I think needs a little bit of a shout out.
Yeah.
What a drive.
Yeah.
It was good.
It was all right.
I feel like he was lucky enough to get himself into that position after all the carnage.
His pace was amazing.
Pace was amazing, but he stayed in the same position, roughly.
What are you saying?
Hello, Tommy, are you still with us?
I was put off by the air conditioning unit going on, and I was thinking like...
Really? The podcast is that boring that you're checking out an air conditioning unit?
I was thinking about audio levels.
Alistair's just ripping into Charles Leclerc saying it was an okay drive.
Ripping into him? I'm just saying I don't think he deserved driver of the day.
What? He's in a Sauber.
I have to agree with Ali.
Oh my God, what? He's a rookie in a Sauber, and he was fighting the bloody
first time round Baku.
He was fighting the Red Bulls on the most difficult track.
I'm not saying he didn't do a good job. Yeah. I just wouldn't call him my driver of the day. I would say Alonso or Sainz. I think Sainz put in a stellar race.
Not for the performance that he has in that car. Like, fair enough, he did drive well, don't get me wrong, but Charles is in the worst car potentially.
Yeah, Charles.
If you look at what compared to their teammates, the difference between like Ericsson and Leclerc, like
true. But then again, I go back to the point of after all the carnage, he was able to get his car into a good position.
It's like that gif that everybody uses of that thing running down the minefield and everything.
Yeah,
blowing
that's
up.
A very popular
GIF. It was a little bit like
that's just become the Baku GIF.
Yeah, actually.
I mean, you say that, but Charles, Leclerc, because I met him once, or maybe twice.
Meet Charles.
I actually
once.
Just like saying so Charles. It's not Charles, it's Charles. I just pretend Leclerc. That I like I can do my French, but basically, yeah, I mean, yeah, he avoided the carnage. Fair enough. But then there was a lull. Like, he had the pace. He was 3 seconds ahead of the car behind for most of the... I was monitoring quite a lot, so I was like, how is he in that position? And he drove consistently. He drove very quickly. And obviously, we compare to his teammate, who maybe is not deemed as the best driver in the world. But he was still last, pretty much, wasn't he? So, for me, Leclerc definitely deserved driver of the day. Alonso, Rob Rush, believes, should have got driver of the day. Yeah. There was a lot of standout performances, which we can agree on.
Maybe that's the problem. There's too many...
Too many
to
stuff.
Mention.
Yeah, I think if Hülkenberg hadn't have crashed out, he could have possibly got driver of the day as well.
No.
Oh, come on.
Well, he was behind Sainz.
If the entire what would have happened race. For the rest of the race. I'm not saying that.
I would have. I'd have known he wouldn't have got a podium, and he would bottle it every time he's a good chance to do it.
The more and more, the longer he goes without getting a podium or anywhere near a podium, I think is
well, you've
he.
Got to, yeah, exactly. You've got to think that someone like Sergio Perez. How many podiums has he scored now? Like five or six?
Yeah.
And with a Force India, Sauber, he's always... And a crazy race always equals Sergio Perez podium for some reason.
Yeah.
That's really weird.
And his second in Baku.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's now the most successful driver around... In terms of like consistent podiums.
Yeah, yeah. Around Baku.
I think that's true, right?
Looking at me like I know the Sergio Perez facts.
You know all the Charles.
Yes, well, Charles did really well.
Probably. He's probably the only one that's got two podiums, yeah.
So, Perez is awesome. Yeah. What also was awesome, what we have to talk about, and I've really wanted to talk about this until this moment, the Red Bull battle.
Oh my gosh.
Chiller Killer 22, who do you think should be blamed for the Red Bull crash? Now, this was tricky, so I believe that we may have differences in opinions here, because I originally thought it was Verstappen, then I watched it back and was like, maybe it was Danny, and now I think it's Max again.
I was exactly the same. I think Red Bull did the right thing to sort of blame both a bit, but I would say like 70% Verstappen.
I'd say 80% Verstappen. He shouldn't... I think, he made a double move. So straight up, that's not allowed, and for reasons such as that. But also, was that really a move for Ricardo to make?
Yeah, I think
it was too
it was
tight.
Still a little bit of his
I
fault.
Think he was banking on the fact that Max would completely fall for the dummy, and he didn't.
And he didn't because he's not.
It's not like it was something. They're racing drivers. They would have gone up a bit against thousands of dummies. Yeah. And this is Max Verstappen, the person that would probably try the dummy out of anyone.
Well, he almost put Ricardo into the wall a few laps earlier.
It was
when
very
they were battling.
Trusting.
They would, questionable.
Again.
I think it was stupid for Danny to put trust in a teammate such as Max, who has had such a hard time these last few races in terms of the media. He wanted to prove something yesterday.
I think the worst thing, ridiculous. Is that, you say he wanted to prove himself, but... In my opinion, he needed a clean race. That was
That's all
way
he needed.
More important.
Yeah.
And the thing that gets me with him is he's unbelievably quick and arguably quicker than Ricardo on his day, maybe over a whole season if they were literally just doing qualifying or whatever. But he needed a race where you can't always beat your teammates. So he just needed to think, look, I need to get a result here. He had a really good fight with Ricardo. It was actually really good to watch. And when they were keeping it clean, it was absolutely amazing. His move on the inside.
Yeah.
That was
instant was
oh
unbelievable.
Goodness,
it was respectful racing, but you could tell it was getting closer and closer.
But he just needed to say, all right, Ricardo's quicker than me, get a result in the bag, get my confidence back. And then the speed will come.
Yeah.
And do you know what I mean? It's just so frustrating.
Where is Max in the standings now? I haven't actually looked.
He's quite far. I think he's got 18 points or something.
Yeah,
he hasn't got
for,
much.
Which for a
top
Red
three
Bull,
team.
It's just not on.
Well, it's just the fact that he's had, it's now the third race, arguably fourth, because he had a little incident in Melbourne. But he just needs to get points on the board.
Yeah.
Really.
So just needs to chill out a bit.
What do you think, Ali? Tommy, you said what percentage? 70.
I said 70.
Jess said 80. Max, like the, yeah. What do you think?
Yeah. 65% max.
Wow, 65. That's very, yeah, very specific. Precise.
63%.
I'd say it's probably about 80, 75 maybe. Like Max was stupid.
Yeah. I think it's hard to know because when we were watching it together, we said, why did Daniel do that? Because essentially what you watch is him ploughing into the back of someone. Yeah. But it's actually... the drivers, like the pundits, like Paul DiResta, all the pundits said, like, you do not understand how much downforce you lose when someone does that to you.
Yes, yeah, exactly.
We can never understand what the car feels like when someone does that to you.
You don't have the same stopping distance. Exactly. So you slam your brakes on, they're not going to work as well as Max's would have worked because he wasn't in dirty air.
Yeah, because that was the lockup, the front right, mm-hmm. which was the one that was in the dirty air. And and a spectator. That's why originally I was like, "Oh my god, what?" You know. And then Danny Rick locked up. It's his fault. Yeah. But that was because Max moved.
Yeah.
So it's an interesting topic, and it literally can be something that we could debate for a long, long time. Mm. Something I think that actually has much less debate to it is a footage that actually came out today, Tommy. Maybe yesterday. I don't know when it was.
Yeah, F1 put it up not very long ago. Actually, we were just watching it only a few minutes ago.
Magnussen and Gasly.
Oh my god.
For anyone that hasn't seen it, I recommend you go and watch this before you listen to this part, but what the hell was Kevin doing?
If anyone thinks Max is a dangerous driver, this is like...
So, what happened?
So, they were going down the main straight. Gasly gets the toe on Magnussen.
Yeah.
Gasly's going up the inside and there's a car width on the inside.
More than a car width.
Yeah. And Magnussen literally, like... You were saying, like, video game move. You know when you're, like, playing with a mate and you just go, huh, that's funny. Just, like...
He's halfway alongside.
He literally did that. And I do not know. If those wheels had touched, like, that one of them is, like, over the barrier because they're doing 200 miles an hour.
Yeah.
Crashed into him again. And then Gasly gets out of it. And then, obviously, because the straight is so huge, gets into a slipstream again, goes for the move again, and Magnussen moves again and almost pushes him into the pit wall.
And apparently it's something that happens every single race as well. That's what the drivers say. They're always constantly complaining.
The suck my balls thing was Hülkenberg going, once again, most unsporting driver. Yeah. And Gasly said something like, he's the most dangerous I've ever raced against.
He did something similar in Monza last year, didn't he? Was that between him and Alonso?
Wow, you're testing our knowledge here.
Wow, Ali.
Are you talking about the karma comment? Because that was Palmer.
No, there was another one where...
He has had a few run-ins with people.
It was one of the Hasses pushed someone... turned into someone on the first... No, the second chicane.
There's a lot of beeping going on behind us as well.
There is a lot of beeping going on, yeah. But based off of the Haas driver...
Oh, good. Oh,
great segue. We have a hat to give away.
They're very...
A signed cap.
Well, we've just been rinsing their driver. So we are very thankful for.
Yeah, so for the people that have made it this far into the podcast, this is your reward, which is a signed Haas hat. So all you have to do is like the video, comment your percentage of which you think one driver was at fault over the other.
That's a
for
really...
For Daniel Ricciardo. Yeah, I know, right?
Who was at fault, Max or Daniel? Yeah.
I want percentages.
Percentage ratios.
Yeah, percentage ratios. That was much easier to say it that way. And then you could win the Haas hat, and you also have to be subscribed. Subscribed. Okay? Simple. Words. There you go, Ali. There's the hat back. So do that, and you could be with a chance of winning a Haas hat. Awesome stuff. Let's move on to something that involves a Haas. Roman Grosjean.
Oh my god.
Roman Grosjean.
You mean when Ericsson hit him, right?
Yeah, what a dick. Ericsson was.
No, okay, can we clarify? That was his engineer that said that. That wasn't Grosjean that said that.
Okay, all right.
So, otherwise, fair enough.
Well, I guess because his engineer couldn't believe that he crashed without anybody hitting him, but he did.
It didn't, didn't look like he even spun up the rear wheels.
He was very aggressively
warming up the tyres.
He literally just slid. Like, it was so weird.
But that is so bad because he's not got
any points. He's not got any points.
He's the only driver other than Sorokin that's not got a point this season.
No way. I didn't know that.
And their start to the season, you'd think, he's going to be banging in podiums and at least like fifth and sixth place. He's not got a point yet.
I would have thought if he had turned to the left and tried to put power down, it would have helped him correct it. But he seems to just let go and let Jesus take the wheel and smash into the wheel.
Jesus did not help him at all.
Yeah.
It was weird because he did... it wasn't, as you say, it didn't look like a normal crash. It just went that way. It was like, what happened? It was so strange.
It was literally,
I do feel
like,
for him
no,
as well.
I'm done. Yeah.
Especially because he'd had such a terrible luck in qualifying. You know, started from way, 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 way down. And then he'd made it up to seventh at that
Sixth,
point.
I think he Sixth. Was, yeah.
I mean, how much more could he have done?
Yeah.
And then to literally throw it all away. If we've been saying there's been like a heartbreak every single Grand Prix, that one's the one from
That's
this.
That's just
this
Baku.
Grand Prix.
Like, that could only happen at Baku, just bidding it.
No one is safe, even when the safety car's out.
Yeah.
Poor old Rogro. And then there was that video that surfaced on the internet of him throwing his glove and almost wiping out his mechanic, who just stood there like, sorry, mate.
The mechanic took it really well, though.
Yeah.
He just kind of went...
He just went...
Yeah, he literally just moved out of the way,
the
dodged
Matrix.
It, and then kind of carried on his merry way. I think I'd have jumped out my
skin.
There
was the other one that then gave him a hug.
Yeah. He's quite emotional. I mean, he's been crying all weekend.
Is he?
He got out the car, crouched down, and just took his helmet off and sat down. Equally heartbreaking picture is of Bottas.
Yeah, Bottas is the...
I haven't seen the picture.
Oh,
he just slumped against the wall. He cried as well.
Actually, I take it back. I think that was more heartbreaking.
Yeah,
that was way more heartbreaking.
Because he didn't crash behind the safety car. He drove over... Magnussen being an idiot.
To have the race won, and then for something that's not your fault.
And I think he drove really well because although he wasn't challenging Hamilton, I don't think that was his strategy. I think it was to go as long as he possibly could. He's behind Hamilton, and he's got absolutely nothing going on behind him. So he was just managing his tyres, being able to go like 40-odd laps and then come into the pits because of the safety car. Like, he played it perfectly. He was the... If something happens, I'll be there.
Exactly, like Vettel did in Melbourne.
Yeah.
He was there to jump.
Exactly, and he did deserve it.
Again, like he's like the consistent driver.
Yeah.
He's never going to... Or maybe he will one day, but I still stand
Here
by, like,
Bottas
he's not...
Roasting.
He's not... No, but again, like, he would have won a race, and I would have said, bravo, like, well done, well managed, good strategy.
Mm. He'd been leading the championship.
Yeah, yeah. No, which is crazy.
That blows my mind.
That's crazy. Insane. But that, again, like...
Lewis Hamilton, number two driver.
We've... But it was good, and it would have been a good race for him. And you know, he said I think in a,
it was his best drive, I think, or something.
Yeah,
it?
And you know, he got second here last year.
Yeah.
It would have been like a step up and be really good. But I still stand by, like, he's not a magic driver.
To win the championship, though, is he? So
no, he's not.
Really,
but
he would
well
be leading
put
it.
Himself in the fight.
If he carries on and everybody else blows themselves up like they keep seeming to do.
Yeah.
I think he could win.
I think he has stepped up his game this year. I genuinely think he's beaten Hamilton in how many races?
Yeah, if Hamilton's that good and Bottas can beat him on his day, then you can't say he's a bad driver.
Yeah, and I mean, Valtteri is, he's only in his second year at Mercedes as well. Like, there is still a lot of learning. You know, he's in the second fastest car on the grid, it has to be said.
Also, the way he got to Mercedes was like... you're in Mercedes now.
Go.
Here's the fastest car. Go. Yeah.
I am, because I was on board in Australia. And I was like, yeah, you know, Bottas is rubbish, but he has impressed me in these first few races. Like in China, he drove faultlessly. He drove amazingly. He was beating Vettel through his own sort of strategy and race. So, I think Bottas, if he continues this way, will cause some issues for Lewis as well. Mm. I think Lewis isn't on his game either at the moment.
No.
He
Mercedes
seems very emotional.
Is like, pretty what is with Mercedes this year? They don't seem to be on it. And when we were watching the race, they mentioned that the tyre temperatures are so bad for Mercedes that when Hamilton did his outlap compared to Vettel, it was 1.5 seconds slower at the pits.
So
he almost got jumped, like Verstappen caught him up again
because they were that slow.
That's crazy.
That was actually an interesting element to the race, because obviously there was that point in the race where it was just a bit boring and everyone was like, oh, okay, maybe this race isn't going to be that great. But it was only boring because there wasn't anything going on track. But the strategies
were so intriguing.
You had Sainz coming in really early because he started on the Ultras. You had guys pushing it like Bottas all the way to lap 40-odd. And I genuinely found it a really intriguing race, even though you had the amazing midfield battles and people were complaining it was boring. I was like,
what race are you watching?
Yeah, when was the last time as well the guy that pit second ever got ahead?
That's not been for years.
The overcut. With Pirelli.
It was one of those things where you were trying to compute how has this happened?
Yeah.
But it did, and it added another level to the race.
The strategy this year is just so good. I think that's what's made the racing so brilliant, is that it's not just a one-stop race, and everyone has to pit at the same time because the tyres shred or whatever.
Yeah.
The last three races have been so good strategy.
Pirelli have nailed it. I think I said it before in the podcast. They have nailed the tyres this year so far. We thought, it's going to be 7 tyres. What? Super duper mega ultra hard? All that stuff. You know, we thought maybe they're introducing too much. But I think by splitting up the tyres even more, they're able to hone in a lot better and potentially make 1-2 stop races. And just going to say, you know, I love a race for the lead. That's more than anything I want. But this race probably grabbed me for more than any for years of the midfield battles. Like usually I don't mind. I'm like, midfield battles. But they were so good. And like having Sainz challenging, Renault challenging Red Bull.
Oh, that was amazing. Yeah.
Those fights were awesome.
That was so good
throughout the whole race.
It was like for the first 30 laps, the three front runners, Vettel, Hamilton, and Bottas, weren't even on camera at all.
Could have won the first four races quite easily. It's amazing how is Hamilton...
apart from Australia, he shouldn't.
He got a bit lucky, but the fact that Ferrari seemed to be the dominant team now, like Vettel could have easily racked up 100 points and be off, and Hamilton's actually leading the title again, which is...
That is,
but it's amazing. It's great. It's like we're finally in the end of the Mercedes dominance.
But I just hope it continues, because last year Ferrari, Hamilton upped his game.
Mm.
I just hope that obviously I don't want to say Hamilton, I hope he does bad, but the fact that he's leading the championship when he's arguably like not on his A game, I just hope that doesn't mean that when he like picks up, he's going to start to dominate. I hope it continues throughout the whole year.
I hope Vettel doesn't, because I don't know. Sorry, I can't get my words out. But this was another race where incident has cost him not only one place but multiple places.
Yeah.
And he's ended up not on the podium at all. Should have been on the podium.
You're talking
at least.
The safety car or his lockup?
His lockup.
The lockup. Yeah.
So the lockup just put him straight out of any podium position.
Because he could have won the race.
He could have.
If he'd just been a bit more relaxed. I mean, to be fair, that probably was his one and only opportunity.
Yeah.
Maybe on that lap.
Do you reckon he might have slipped through?
Well, he was under pressure from behind as well. Mm. So I think he saw an opportunity. I mean, fair play to him. He saw an opportunity. He went for it. He tried to do a Daniel Ricciardo. Yeah. But at
it was
that
a
point,
rubbish move.
Yeah. We can't argue for it after slating Bottas for not going for that
exactly.
move.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, like, fair play to him for going it.
Yeah.
But he did just completely balls it up.
And looking at the replays, he just misjudged his braking point.
He could have braked
10, 15 metres earlier and still got in front, but he braked so late.
He only just missed it.
Yeah.
Just missed it. But at that point, it's enough. It cost
but he
you...
Had the, he had the inside line, so he didn't actually need to... He did a Danny Rick dive bomb when he didn't need to do a
he
Danny
didn't
Rick
need
dive
to.
Bomb.
Yeah.
He could have quite easily just... Yeah.
I think just his closing speed, because he'd been leading the race the whole time, he wouldn't have experienced 340 kilometres an hour until that moment. And then it's obviously caught him out. He's on the dirty... side of the track as well, and he's gone straight on, and he finished
fourth.
which is I think Ferrari are going to rue the fact they don't have 100 points right now for Vettel.
They definitely should have 100 points for Vettel.
And as you say, I think Mercedes will only get stronger. I don't think Ferrari are going to pull away
once Mercedes sort their tyre issues out.
This is Ferrari on their A game.
Yeah.
And Mercedes isn't on their A game. So
and Hamilton's leading this. This season is awesome. That genuinely has
it needs to be like this all the way through, because the start of 2017 was a little bit similar, where I was like, if this carries on between Hamilton and Vettel, this could be one of the best seasons ever. And if this carries on, this is going to be right up there with like 2012.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Yeah. 2012, it has that feeling of that, even though it's not 7 different winners and 7 races, it's still got that unpredictability of Red Bull being there. I think that's the whole point, is that we've always wanted Red Bull to be there when they slip up, or at least, you know, be fighting. And they were rubbish in terms of pace because of their battery issues, wasn't it?
Yeah. But,
which allowed Renault to come at them. But the fact that we don't know what's going to happen when we turn up at the next race as well.
Mm.
Because that's what everyone should be, shouldn't it?
Yeah. And I mean, we used to do all like our predictions of who's going to be the top three.
I genuinely don't know who to say anymore.
Yeah, it's
well, yeah, for our all prediction the races, from the last like, race for the second time we've just gone.
Yeah,
they're all
completely wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and even I think everybody kind of feels, and I think for Hamilton it's the same thing. We kind of feel a little bit like I feel empty about the win. I don't feel. Oh, that was great because it was won on a.
Yeah, it was lucky as hell.
I don't feel like usually I'm just like, oh, whoever wins, it's like, oh, that was a good race.
Yeah.
But for this one, it you didn't have that at all.
It was
so
chaos.
It's kind of like a. Ugh.
I think the only reason for me that last year's race was better was because the winner was like so deserving.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Like Ricciardo made. It would have been nice if I don't know, like if Vettel had won the race. And he'd have made that move, and it was like, okay, fair play. Vettel almost lost the race, and he went for a move and won it back. But you didn't have that, you know.
Yes, I'm just loving the season so far.
It's so good.
It's actually awesome. And I think for Spain, we might go back to maybe a little bit more of a boring race. Spain isn't great for overtaking.
No.
You know, the straight hasn't really ever produced much because I think cars haven't been able to pass into turn one. It's not long enough of a DRS zone. Mm-hmm. I don't know what they're doing. Are they doing anything different for the DRS zone this year? Do you know?
If they have, it's not been released yet.
Yeah, okay. So, yeah.
But the Melbourne one wasn't released until like just before the race anyway.
They could do that again.
So who do we reckon is going to be quick around Spain? Because obviously they've done testing. So they'll have probably a better idea.
Don't forget it was freezing cold.
That's very true. That's it was snowing, wasn't it?
It was snowing.
Yeah, that's pretty,
so they'll have absolutely no idea. That's basically
which makes it better. Yeah.
But going back through the years, like at least the recent years, I cannot remember.
Well, it's usually, Spain was a weird one until last year. It was a really strange one where. You say it's always a boring race, but you had it was 11 years where it was a different winner. Mm-hmm. Even like Maldonado, Vettel, Hamilton, Webber, it just went right back to 11 different winners. And then even that year when you thought, well, the Mercedes are going to win, and then Verstappen won because they crashed into each other and stuff. So, yeah, it could be anyone. But I think Ferrari, surely, if it's a dull race, think Ferrari
will lock it out and potentially go for the win. I think one team that I just don't know why they turned up so good at Baku, but I don't know if they'll be consistent. That was Force India. They came out of nowhere this weekend. They've been off the pace,
weren't they? Yeah.
And then the fourth fastest team.
Yeah. And then you've got Renault in the mix now, from the looks of things. If they can continue that from
what made the midfield so good, and I'm hoping this continues throughout the year, is it just becomes that thing where the midfield is Bahrain, suddenly Toro Rosso are the best team and Gasly's fighting for fourth.
Yeah.
Then the next one, or like this one, no one expected Sainz to be going past the Red Bulls, and you're like, wow, what are Renault doing and Leclerc?
Yeah.
And then Force India are back, and then sometimes they drop off, and I hope that continues throughout the whole year.
Yeah, I don't think we've had a midfield battle as varied as this. It's usually been Force India and then Renault potentially. Whereas
and Williams.
And, oh God,
R.I.P. Williams.
Although Lance Stroll was good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He did
he was decent in qualifying, and he was up there. Where did he finish in the end?
He managed to get at some point up into sixth.
At one point. But I think that was when the pits were happening.
He fell away a bit at the end. Yeah.
He got points though, didn't he?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Which is good. I mean, he had a podium last year and some points this year. Right, let's go. Give me predictions. Come on.
Okay. Tommy,
you got to predict.
Okay. All right, I'm going to go for... I reckon it might calm down a bit, so I'm going to go for Vettel, Raikkonen, Hamilton.
I sincerely hope you've just jinxed it and it's going to be another
crazy I really don't
it's
want to
It's
going to
be boring. No overtakes. Okay.
Maybe
cool.
If we just keep doing boring predictions then we get crazy races.
Yeah. Yeah. Ali, Weck. Sorry, F1.
Sorry, someone said Weck. predictions for Spain. I reckon Vettel will get first. I think Raikkonen will get second. And a Mercedes. So
no.
Probably.
Name.
It's probably Hamilton, but I'm going to say Bottas.
Okay, so pretty much the same as Tommy.
Yeah.
Just copying him.
Yeah, you're just like, I'm not going to watch it anyway.
I always stay with whatever the founder says. That's how I keep my job.
Did everyone know that Tommy's the founder? Of WT? Yeah, okay. Jess.
I think Vettel should get it. I think potentially Hamilton will come second. And I think Raikkonen will come third just purely because he seems to magically find his way on the podium even if he has an absolute diabolical start.
I don't know. The last two races, how has he been second?
I don't understand.
compute.
Clearly,
please help me.
Clearly there's some kind of voodoo magic going on and he's just going to end up.
Yeah, it's weird.
Like, maybe he'll win. I don't know. That's the next step. That's the next step.
I was going to predict that. But it's weird that, you know, he has such like rubbish qualifying or he has some really bad luck.
Yeah.
Or the team screw him over.
Yeah, the team screws him. And yeah, he still managed to find himself on that pesky podium. Like,
he has loads of bad luck, but then he'll get luck at some point.
Yeah.
And then, I don't know. I think Kimi Raikkonen will finally get a victory. I think so. I genuinely hope. I hope so. He has been really quick.
Your reflection scared me.
For anyone wondering, just over there, just to the right, podium.
That's the podium.
It's the podium. Right there.
Right there. Anyway, back to my
Firme, just down there.
Are you done? Yeah. I'm
just entry to the pit lane, just there.
Are you giving a full tour?
Yeah. So yeah. Down there is the Lotus.
A podcast tour.
The Lotus.
This is the start thing. Finish straight.
It's the Avshire on the grandstand.
Oh, you
just there is.
Wow, he remembers.
Yeah, Hamilton's pit.
Oh, just Hamilton. No one else's pit.
Okay. And you call me the fang thing.
Gushing. Okay, so...
no!
And my predictions were... So, Raikkonen... I think Raikkonen will beat Vettel on pace and then Hamilton will be third. I genuinely... As I was saying, Kimi has been really quick all season. I think he has shown more pace than he has for the last few years. I think he's finally got a grip of how to drive these cars because not since... You know, I can't remember what year, but like when he was properly on his A game, we haven't seen that for years, I don't think.
Or is this his swan song? And he's like,
no.
Before he bows out.
Do you think they'd let Kimi? When do you think
let him retire?
No.
You cannot lose.
You said that Kimi might win about a second. When do you think they will start switching?
I don't think it
can't be that early in the year.
I don't know.
I don't think they will. I think, again, because Vettel has the long-term investment opportunity and Raikkonen is on his way out.
You think they will switch?
No, I don't. Because Vettel is going to be there longer than Raikkonen is. So they will never put Vettel as number two. In fact, I think, isn't it in his contract?
Sorry, I meant in the race.
Oh, in the race.
In the race. Yeah, like, so Kimi's leading. Do you reckon they'll just do a Barrichello and Schumacher and Kimi crawls across the line
they
and
can't.
Has to let him through?
They can't.
Not this early. Not this early on. The uproar, apart from Ferrari fans.
But it's Ferrari, so...
Yeah, they don't really care.
They tend to do it subtly, like, to be fair. Like, if you... The recent ones... It was never as blatant as what they used to do with Schumacher and Barrichello. They've started making it so they left Kimi out of the pits, didn't they, for ages. Mm-hmm. And Bahrain was just like, go on, good luck, see you later, bye.
And
podium.
Yeah. And Kimi's reaction on the team radio is when he realises that it's not gone his way. Like, he's not settling for a number two driver as much as he probably knows that he's in that position in some respect. He doesn't want to be. He still wants the best strategy and he still wants to win, which, you know, it shows that he's still got the fire within him. How old is he now?
37.
Yeah. I'll be very sad when Kimi leaves.
I think him and Alonso are the two old boys on the track.
And yet they're, well, Alonso's at least regarded as the best driver on the grid still. And I don't personally think so. But I think Kimi will be it'll be a shame for him to leave. What was that?
Meow.
Oh, right. I mean, I think he's a great driver. I just don't think he's the best.
Where did that cat come from?
Yeah. I thought he was doing a tyre screech.
Oh, the Baku cat.
The Baku cat, yeah. I think, but we'll see.
Yeah, we will. And I think that's come to a nice... conclusion this podcast. Yeah. I think I'm actually surprised at how quickly we got through all the incidents, but we did.
I think it's because we still don't know how to process
it. We missed
it.
Everything.
I was expecting messages saying like, guys, you've been going for 2 hours any moment. But
I think we've summed it up nicely. I think it's because we all watched the highlights. We kind of had an understanding as to all the incidents that happened.
We did an alley and watched the highlights.
Worked perfectly.
When's the next wet race? It's next week, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah, it is.
Where is it?
Around Spa. 6 hours to Spa.
Alonso's debut.
And Guido van der Garde and Jenson Button.
No, he's not. He's doing Le Mans.
He's only doing Le Mans.
He's starting at Le Mans.
Calm down.
The only one that matters, really.
Le Mans going to be pretty decent then, isn't it?
Both exposure. Le Mans are going to be pretty decent.
Okay, let's not talk about WEC, otherwise we will be here forever.
Anyway, guys, thank you so much for watching this podcast. Remember, if you want to win the signed Haas F1 cap, then all you have to do is like the video, subscribe if you're new, and also rate the ratio of how much you blame either Ricciardo or Verstappen. And that was much better at explaining that time.
Well done.
Thank you very much for watching. Well done,
Baku.
Well done, Baku.
Fantastic race. And we'll see you for Spain in 2 weeks' time.
Yeah.
Yes.
smashed it.
Yeah.
Nailed it.
Bye.
If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Grainger understands that you go to great lengths and sometimes heights to ensure the power is always flowing, which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.